Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Cain. As I see it. Common sense. In a world of insanity.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to forewarn you that today's show is probably going to be very controversial, and I fully realize that a large percentage of my audience are Republican and conservative, and I think probably it's going to upset some of you too. But my goal in this show is to tell you the truth, at least the way I see it. That's why it's called Marcus Cain As I See It. So I'm going to tell you exactly as I see this situation. With Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy being removed, because you are hearing two very, very different stories, depending on what news networks you listen to or what papers you read. And while both may have some points, and we'll get into those points, there's really only one actual truth, as there usually is, and I'm going to tell it to you. And you may not like it, but I think maybe you need to hear it. Before I do start with that, however, I just want to address this ridiculous Jamal Bowman situation very quickly, because it doesn't deserve a lot of time. Jamal Bowman pulled a fire alarm. He pulled a fire alarm in an attempt to stop a vote. Now, he can say as much as he wants, I thought it opened a door. There is no one on the planet who thinks that a lever that says fire or pull in case of fire opens a door, much less someone who was a principal of a school where they regularly had fire drills. So he is lying to you. Say we take him at face value. If you are so dumb that you think a lever that says fire opens a door, you are probably too dumb to serve in politics. And he should be removed. But worse than being removed, he should be put in jail. And I'll tell you why. What he did was the exact same thing that people on January 6th, some of them were charged with. And that is obstructing or interrupting an official government proceedings. That's exactly what he did. Now, if you go look in some of the January 6th documentation, you will find that that's what some of these people were charged with. He will not be charged with any of that. Instead, he will go with the, I thought it opened a door excuse, and that's good enough. So I don't know why these people who were charged with January 6th just don't say, I thought we were all being invited in, and that's why we came in. I thought we were all in there for photo ops for the news. And I guess they'd all be let go. You see, very clearly, there are two systems of justice. If you're a Democrat, you can do anything you want to do. Anything. And you'll have rocket scientists like AOC saying, you have to understand that in the heat of the moment, he got confused and thought that he had to get out of this vestibule that he was in, and there was literally no way of escaping the vestibule. There's a staircase. Excuse me, there's other doors. She's lying, too, and she knows she's lying. The Democratic Party lies to your face with impunity, and they do not care because they think you are the stupidest people on planet Earth. They think you are fools. They think you are slack-jawed yokels, and they have zero respect for your intelligence. They think they are the superior being and that you cannot think for yourself. Prove it every time they open their mouths. So nothing will happen to Bowman. But if you had pulled it, you'd be under the jail for years. Years. He gets away with just saying, oopsie. Stupid me. I pulled it thinking it opened a door. Did you just get to the Capitol today, or have you been there a while? The House. Absolutely ridiculous. It is a clown show. And to see every Democrat sticking up for him, well, it's very understandable. It's not understandable. Oh, it's just a simple mistake. It's not a simple mistake. You intentionally disrupted an official government proceeding, and that is a felony. Now, I've heard people say it's just a misdemeanor to pull a fire alarm. It is a felony to disrupt a government proceeding. Again, go look at what some of the January 6th people were charged with. You will find they were charged with that. Now, before we get into the Kevin McCarthy thing totally, let me just explain to you something about the way our system works. When the House passes a bill, that bill then has to go to the Senate. And the Senate will probably make revisions, especially if we have a divided branches of government, which we do. The Republicans control the House. The Democrats control the Senate. So if a Republican bill passes, it's going to the Senate, where the Senate, at very least, if they don't just shut it down completely, they are going to make major revisions. And then they bounce it back down to the House, and the House tries to fight back a little bit and say, can we do this? Can we do that? What Kevin McCarthy is currently saying is, I passed a deal to avoid a government shutdown. A government shutdown would mean that soldiers weren't being paid, our military wasn't being paid, there are other people who wouldn't get their benefits and everything. So we owe it to them. We owe it to them. Well, this is political blackmail, and I'll tell you why. Anybody could say that. So if the Democrats say, well, we want $100 million for gender research, or we're not going to pass this bill, then what the Republicans have to say, okay, otherwise the soldiers won't get paid? If you want control of the House, which you gave the Republicans, then you have to have a Republican, a Speaker of the House, who is going to attempt to at least implement a Republican agenda. And a Republican agenda does not mean I am going to go into the back room with Democrats after telling the Republicans I will not vote for anything, we will not bring anything to the floor that has over spending over a certain amount, lie to their face, and cut a backroom deal with Democrats to give all of the stuff that they want. And then come out and say, well, I mean, it's a bipartisan, we got to pass it. Because the soldiers, because the people who are relying upon their check in the mail. Yeah. See, that's phony. And Washington has done it for years. They will do this trick, folks. They will say, we want to give $1 million to the veterans, the home, so, you know, homeless veterans and veterans who've been displaced. And they'll attach it to a bill that says we also want to give $10 million to gender research, $17 million for a bridge leading to a private golf course, $14 million to research why pigs stink. And if you say, well, no, we're not going to waste our taxpayers' money with that nonsense. You don't support the veterans. You'd let them be homeless, you heartless bastards. All you had to do was sign the bill. But you won't. You just keep adding bullshit to the bill. So Matt Gaetz said, let's do it individually, one thing at a time. Don't add things to this bill. Them all stand alone. What is wrong with that? That way you say, are we voting for the aid to the homeless veterans? We are. Great. Are we voting for the bridge to a private golf course? We are. And then you said no. Great. But if you attach them together, and then when it's turned down because it's a waste of taxpayer money to build a bridge to a private golf course, you then come up with, you hate the veterans, That's disingenuous. And that's what Washington has done since day goddamn one. And it's about time someone called them on it. So McCarthy says, and rightfully says, well, I mean, we did cut spending by 30% compared to when the Democrats had the House and they passed that appropriation bill. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. But here's the thing. It's going to go to the Senate, McCarthy. And then the Senate's going to say, no, no, that's not enough. Maybe cut it by 8%. And then they're going to bounce it back down to you, and you're going to say, well, how about 12? And they're going to say, well, how about 9? And then eventually it'll pass. So it's like going to buy a car. You don't go and buy a car and try to negotiate with the car salesman and say, how about if you give me $100 off this asking price? Because if you did that, he's now going to say, how about 50? And he's already won because he would have gave you thousands off, right? So you blew it yourself. That's not the way it works, McCarthy. So you needed to be the hardball player because you knew when it got to the Senate they were going to change it. So instead of saying 30% off is brilliant, let's send it to the Senate so they can change it to 10% off, you got to start with like 75% off. Then send it to the House or the Senate. And then the Senate says, well, 75%, this is unacceptable. We might settle for 30 or 40, and then you got it. That's not what McCarthy did. McCarthy's the guy that walked in and said, oh, can you give me $100 off the asking price for this new car? So that the salesman could say, well, we'll give you 50. Oh, good. I got $50 off. McCarthy, it's not the way the negotiation works. And if you were above board, why did you have a backroom secret meeting with the Democrats? Why didn't you have it in public? It's no good to have a Speaker of the House, folks, if he's just going to implement Democratic visions. I'm sorry. Yes, I know. I know he started the investigation into the impeachment of Biden. Yes, I know he did some good things. But he also lied to get the Speaker of the House approval. He told people, if you vote for me, I will do X, Y, and Z, and then said, F you, and didn't do it. I have no problem working with the Democrats, but you've got to understand something. The Democrats never work with us. They take us as fools. The Democrats just say, oh, well, nope, we refuse. We refuse to bend one inch. And then the Republicans, when they get into power, say, well, how can we make you happy too? We'll give. No, no, no. Time that if you were the Speaker of the House, you start to implement conservative values. You don't have backroom deals with Democrats where you say, well, we got a little bit of what we wanted. Yeah, and did you read the litany list of wasted money that was attached to this? So when Kevin McCarthy comes out and says, well, I don't understand it. We had to keep the government open so the soldiers, our military, I couldn't look them in the eye and say you won't be getting your pay. How about you look the Democrats in the eye and say, don't attach this nonsense to the bill. We're not voting for this crap. You've wasted enough of the taxpayer money. We're not voting this in. That's all Gates asked. Can we individually vote on this stuff? Does everything have to be put into one lump thing? Do we have to accept everything? And the answer is yes, you have to accept everything. So how about if I told you, how about if I came to your door and said to you, I am collecting money for victims of child abuse. And what I would like you to do is to donate $10. 1 cent of this money is going toward child abuse victims. The other $9.99 of it is going to pro-abortion causes. Are you going to give me the $10? Or are you going to say, well, I'll just go donate $10 directly to something? I'm not giving you that. I don't agree with that. Oh, but our government can do that all the time, right? And that's supposed to be okay. This is your money. And I don't want to hear one more word, not one, about the Ukraine. Not one. And I'll tell you why. Can you please tell me the end game here? Can anybody tell me the end game? We are giving them billions and billions and billions of dollars, hoping what? That they win? They're not going to win because Vladimir Putin has nukes. You understand that, right? Here we are saying, I don't know if we could win a battle with Russia. It would be very difficult for the United States to actually win a battle with Russia at this point. But you want the Ukraine to do it. You think the Ukraine can do it. Well, they can't. You're prolonging the death. You're prolonging the battle. You're prolonging the war. Because they can't win it. There is no end game. If you said, well, we're temporarily giving them a few billion dollars to fend off the attacks until we can get peace talks negotiated here, okay, then you've given me the end game. But that's not what you're doing. They've been in here for how long? There's not been one peace talk. Keep throwing money at a war. And you know why you're throwing money at this war? Because you're benefiting from it. Your Lockheed Martin and all of these other war manufacturing our companies are making billions of dollars, and you're getting a kickback from it. You think we're dumb? You know how it works? The big donors like this to people's campaigns, they give them all so much money and promise their support. In turn, the politician gives them back that money. It's your money. But he gives them back that money after he wins. So they've really donated nothing. Let's just say one of you people listening to me is running for office, and I own a business, and I say, I'm willing to donate $100,000 to your cause, and, you know, if you do get into office, you need to make it much easier for me to operate my business and give me some grants. Done. So you win, and you give me back my $100,000 because you allow me tax breaks and grants and everything else that reaches $300,000 or $400,000, so I got $300,000 or $400,000 worth of value by donating to you. And you didn't cost you a dime because it's a taxpayer's money. That's how politics works. And guess what? We're sick of it. So when Matt Gaetz stands up and says, I know this is going to cause chaos in the Republican Party, yes, he's right, it will. I know the Democrats are going to go on TV and say, this is a win, this is a win. Yes, they will. I agree with all of that. But at some point, you have to throw the monkey wrench into the works. It's going to be business as usual forever. You elected Speaker McCarthy, and he went right back to the good old boy uniparty nonsense that has been infecting the Republican Party for years and years and years and years. And at some point, it has to end if you want anything to happen. It has to end. Now there are people saying, well, Gaetz couldn't wait. He couldn't wait until after this investigation into... I heard a guy say, well, right when Hunter Biden is going into court, Matt Gaetz makes the announcement and it takes all of the news cycle away from Hunter Biden. I don't care about Hunter Biden's gun charge. Hunter Biden's gun charge has zero to do with Joe Biden. Zero. Hunter Biden's gun charge is irrelevant to me. Hunter Biden's not an elected official. I don't give one damn any more than I would if my neighbor was up on a gun charge. I don't care. It's not like it's tying back to Joe, like all of these money laundering things. That's not what he was in court for. Oh, no. But the Republicans are saying, oh, it took all the news cycle away from his gun charge. Who cares about his gun charge? You idiots. This is the problem with the Republican Party, and this is why I'm not a Republican. Because they do this every time. The Republican Party is not the same thing as conservative. And the reason is they don't want these conservative values. They don't want them. A Republican now is basically a moderate to lightly moderate Democrat. And the Democrats are just flat out fascists. So there you go. That's what we have to contend with now. So you mean to tell me that Speaker McCarthy couldn't sit with what he calls the mega Republicans and listen to them, but he could sneak off into a back room with the Democrats and he did listen to them? What does that tell you? Then who would he rather negotiate with? Would he rather negotiate with the so-called mega Republicans, or would he rather negotiate with the Democrats? Well, the answer is obviously the Democrats. Now here's a newsflash. The Democrats are idiotic to the point of almost satire, and here's why. They're celebrating, yeah, victory for us. We get to go on CNN and say, the Republican Party's in disarray. They can't rule anything. They can't even get along with each other. Keep smiling, because the next Speaker of the House is going to be way more conservative, and he's not going to negotiate with your ass. So if you were smart, which you weren't, you never would have voted McCarthy out. Because McCarthy was at least working with you. McCarthy was taken in the back room and saying, I know you're in the minority, but what can we do for you? Did you ever do that with us? Did the Democrats ever do that? I don't recall one time. So the next guy up, which could very well be Jim Jordan, he ain't going to do it. So keep laughing. Because you're the ones who helped it go. If just a few of the Democrats voted no, McCarthy would still be in. But every single one of you, every one of you voted to remove him. Because you thought, well, this will temporarily be great for our party. We'll have a talking point. Great. You've got a talking point until Tuesday when they elect a new speaker. And then you're going to be crying. I can't wait to hear you on television saying, this is terrible. Now we got someone who will not walk across the aisle with us. Yeah, well, congratulations. You've got the brains of the guy who pulled the fire alarm. McCarthy was your best ally in the Republican Party. He's cutting backroom deals with you to give you everything that you wanted. And you removed them. That's the irony. That's the funny thing. You're so stupid. You shouldn't have removed them. And you would have had your ally on the other side of the aisle. Because he was. I'm sorry. But he was. All I ever heard out of Kevin McCarthy's face is, when I get in, we're going to subpoena Hunter Biden. Do you see a Hunter Biden subpoena? Well, when I get in, we're going to almost immediately attempt to get Joe Biden removed. Do you see that? Oh, we're just having an inquiry. Did the Democrats have an inquiry when they tried to impeach Trump? Do you remember inquiries, or do you remember them just saying, no, we're moving for impeachment? And when you ask them for the evidence, what did they say to you? We got it. We don't need to show it to you. We'll present it on the impeachment floor. And then they didn't even present it on the impeachment floor. They didn't have any. Twice they had nothing, not one single damn thing. And they still impeached him, and they still all voted to do it. And here's the Republicans saying, we'll have an inquiry. I don't really see anything too suspicious. I don't necessarily see anything that implicates Joe Biden. You don't? Well, let me read them to you. Here's Hunter Biden saying, my uncle's brother, and brother is in quotations, will be there as requested. Who's his uncle's brother? The milkman? He only has one, and that's Joe. You morons. So there's some evidence. Three or four whistleblowers saying, I was in business with Hunter, and he was selling access to his father. No, that's not evidence. You got Hunter Biden's own email saying, I hope Dad doesn't make you give him 50% of your salary like he's been making me give him 50% of my salary all these years. And still you got these idiot Republican saying, I don't really see any link or evidence. The next day, after Hunter Biden has a meeting with a certain person, the next day, oh, amazingly, Joe happens to be in that country, and the day after that, he gets a brand new sports car. Oh, here's Hunter Biden flying on Air Force One. Why? He's not elected to anything. Why is he going with Joe, huh? And then comes back with a bag full of money. What do you mean there's no evidence? You ignoramuses? But still, you'll see Republicans saying, I don't really see any real reason to impeach Joe Biden. I don't see anything that directly links him. Oh, come on. And then you're going to cry because Kevin McCarthy was booted out? Show him the door. He was the ringleader of that mentality. Oh, he's putting on a good game. It's like pro wrestling. Oh, well, we're going to inquire about possibly impeaching Joe Biden. I'm going to play hardball. Ah, you're doing nothing. You're going in the back room with Democrats saying, don't worry about this. Nothing's going to happen to Joe. We just need to get this done for our constituents. You know how the game works. Yeah, we know how the game works, and we're tired of the game. Don't you understand that? We're tired of the game. You work for us. People have lost sight of this. I talk to college students who don't understand this concept. Do you understand that when this country was founded, you couldn't have 7,000 farmers running around saying, we want this, we want that, we demand this, we demand that. So they said, get one spokesman. Get one person that's the voice of you all. And they will tell us what you guys want, the majority of you. That's how politics was started. It isn't you elected me, so I'll do whatever the hell I want. It's you elected me, so I'll do whatever the hell the majority of you want. And the majority of us feel sorry for the Ukraine, but if you're not going to tell me how this is going to end or how this much money is going to help, we don't want to pay it. Billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars flooding into a country that is no closer to winning the war or getting out of the war than they were when it started, but you can't find a dime for health care, right? You can't find a dime for people who are dying of cancer and don't have insurance. That's bullshit. And the American people see it. What the actual hell is going on in Washington? I thought we didn't have all this money. Oh, well, we couldn't possibly get any health care for people who don't have it. That would bankrupt us. Ah, but billions to the Ukraine won't. Did any good. 500,000 people dead. Show me where it did any good. What's the end game? You think they're going to win? They're not going to win. Vladimir Putin has nuclear weapons. If he wants to use it, he could blow the Ukraine off the map. They're not going to win. So if they're not going to win, the only thing you can, what are you going to hoping to do? Just drive them out? Just have them say, okay, well, it's not worth the effort. Guess we'll just say forget it. Thought we might be able to take some territory here, but them damn Americans keep funneling in money, and I guess we'll just retreat with our tail between our legs. That's never happening. So you need negotiation. You need to play hardball with Vladimir Putin and say, we're not sending money to the Ukraine, no. But you are going to sit down at the table with Zelensky, and we're going to figure this out. And if we're not going to figure this out, we're going to find a way between ourselves and our allies to bankrupt your country. There'll be people fighting each other in the streets of Moscow for a crust of bread, and they'll probably hang you from a friggin' lamppost for being the person who causes it. So if that's what you want, Putin, keep it up. Otherwise, bring your ass to the table and settle this. No. You know what the warmongers are doing? Throw in more money. Keep it going longer. Maybe more people will die. At what point do you say enough? Have you heard one time from anybody, we're going to sit down with Vladimir Putin and Zelensky and figure this out? No. Because they don't want to figure it out. They want to keep throwing your money at it so they can filter off about 40% of it to line the pockets of the people who are making these weapons or line their own pockets because they have been paid off by these special interest groups. So while the politicians are getting rich, you got kids dying in the Ukraine. They don't give a damn about the kids being blown up in Ukraine. If they did, they'd set people down at the table and try to solve it, not just throw money to say, you suffered more losses? Here, we'll give you some more weapons. Keep going. Keep fighting. You know they're not winning. Would you do that to your kid? If your kid came home and said, there's a bully in school who's 6 years older than me and 150 pounds heavier, and I tried to fight him and he beat the hell out of me, are you going to say, try again? Wear this and this will protect you from some of the beating and try again. And try again. And every day he comes home with another black eye, another bruise, another whatever. Eventually you're going to say, you can't fight him no more. So I think what we need to do is go to the school and solve it, right? That's what you'd do. You wouldn't just keep saying, well, let me buy my kid some self-defense lessons. Let me buy my kid a protective suit. You wouldn't do that. That's what you're doing in the Ukraine. You're just prolonging their agony. You're just causing more people to die. Sit down and make them come to an agreement. But you won't. And Kevin McCarthy was right there with him saying another couple billion. Yeah, we're done with this nonsense. I'm tired of the way Washington works. There should be a law, which Matt Gaetz agrees with. There should be a law that says if you're going to pass a bill, we have a veterans bill on the table going to give $10 million to the Veterans Administration for their hospitals. Then that's it. That's what's up. It's yes or no. You don't add to it. And with that bill, if you agree to the $10 million for veterans, we're also going to give $6 million to a gender study research group, $9 million to have somebody do some landscaping, another $12 million for children's genital mutilation to change their sex. No, you don't attach all that stuff to the same bill. One bill at a time. Is that too much to ask? Apparently it is for McCarthy. So I'm not shedding any tears for him. And all of you Republicans are saying, this is apocalyptic. It's not apocalyptic. You're going to get another conservative speaker. What do you think? And by the way, if you don't, if you get a Democrat as Speaker of the House, which could in theory happen, if you get a Democrat as Speaker of the House, it's because Republicans voted for that Democrat, because we have the majority. So if every Republican says, well, McCarthy's out, I'm certainly not voting for a Democrat, they can't win. They can't win. So why are you shedding tears? I'll tell you why. Because half of these Republicans are Democrats. And you're worried sick that they're not going to vote for a Jim Jordan. I'd rather vote for a Democrat. Why would you rather vote for a Democrat? That's the question. So if we do get stuck with a Democratic Speaker of the House, you can thank your Rhino Republicans for it. Don't blame Matt Gaetz. He's trying to bring to you a speaker who's going to do what Republicans promised. Now, I know there's going to be people who say, why did Marjorie Taylor Greene vote against it? Why did Lauren Boebert vote against it? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, they already knew that their vote didn't matter. Matt Gaetz obviously went to them and said, every single Democrat is voting against them. And I have 8 right now, so that's it. That's all I need. So they say, okay, well then, you know what? Just to show unity, maybe we will just, you know, say we're against it. But listen, there's a lot of them who are secretly for it. A lot more than you think. A lot more than you think. Because they knew where McCarthy was going with this. What did McCarthy accomplish? Oh, he had an inquiry going into Joe Biden. An inquiry. Democrats didn't waste time in an inquiry. They just went for the jugular vein and said, we're impeaching Donald Trump twice. With absolutely a zero evidence. Here you have a boatload of evidence and actual whistleblowers, and you've got some of the Republican Party saying, I don't really see a connection here. These got to be the same people who think that the fire alarm was pulled because the guy was trying to open the door. It's unbelievable. You are now seeing the swamp. You're seeing it. And you're seeing how the swamp reacts when the swamp is challenged. And they're going to try to destroy Matt Gaetz for it. They're going to say, well, he had a grudge against McCarthy because McCarthy didn't defend him for the ethics violation thing he was going through. Let's say that's true. So what? He made some great points. McCarthy did go back on a lot of his promises. McCarthy did have secret backroom deals with the Democrats. Is that what you want from your Republican Speaker of the House? Do you think that's fine? Because I don't. It's one thing to upfront say, we'll listen to the Democrat side. If you have a legit bill that you want to bring up that we could vote yes or no for, bring it up. We'll vote. Maybe you'll get some Republicans to vote for it. If you can convince a Republican that building a bridge is essential to the economy of some state that you represent to the tune of $17 million of taxpayer money, then I guess they'll vote thumbs up. But if they vote thumbs down, then it's thumbs down. You don't attach it to a bill about veterans and then try to claim because we shot it down that we don't like the veterans. Because that's disingenuous and that's a lie. That's why one bill at a time. You know why they don't want to do that? Because they're embarrassed to bring those things up. They're embarrassed to have somebody literally come up and say, we want to put charging stations in the projects. And it's going to cost $17 million to add electrical charging stations in the project. You know why they're embarrassed? Because the very first question is going to be, how many people in the projects do you think own an electric car? The answer would be pretty close to zero. So then why are we wasting $17 million worth of taxpayer money to do that? Is that a wise use of taxpayer money? The answer would be no. And everybody would know it would be no, but the person bringing up that bill has been paid off by the people who are actually manufacturing those chargers. So he wants that in, or she wants that in. So they'll attach it to a bill that you don't dare not pass, like money for the veteran. Oh, how can I not pay the soldiers? How can we not vote for something to help the veteran? And by the way, $17 million so they can build electric chargers in the projects. So my special interest group gets their money back. Yeah, we're done with that nonsense. We're finished. Stop it already. You're so proud of the bill and you think it's so important, bring it up individually and let's see how the American people think their taxpayer money is being used wisely. But they won't, because this is the good old boy network of how politics works. So do not cry a river for Kevin McCarthy. He was part of that good old boy, rhino Republican, uniparty nonsense that has been infecting politics for as long as I've been alive, and it needs to change. That's your money. If you're told part of the money that you work hard for is going so a company can line their pockets with money by putting electric charging stations in projects that probably have less than 1% of the occupants actually owning an electric car, you would probably say, that doesn't sound correct. I don't think that's a good idea. So I think I would vote no on that. See why they don't do it? Somebody said $10 million for a playground. In what universe does it take $10 million to build a playground? In what universe? The answer is about, $400,000 or $500,000 is going to go to that playground, and the rest is going in somebody's back friggin' pocket. That's the way this works. Did you ever have those people call you up from the Police Benevolent Society and say, would you like to donate to the Police Benevolent Society or youth whatever? And you know, you give them $100, and then they give the police a dollar. and they put $99 in their back pocket. That's legal. That's actually legal. Because they really are donating a portion to the police. It's immoral, but it's not illegal. Well, that's what the politicians do. Oh, we need $10 million for a playground. Of course, we're only going to give them $150,000. The rest of it's going to go into people's pockets who get this bill passed. I know how that works. The American people now know how that works. We're done. In order to really drain the swamp, you're going to have to blow up the system. So when they say Matt Gaetz has blown up the system, yeah, he did. And he should have, because it needs blowing up so that it can be exposed for exactly what it is. Now, when the smoke clears, I'm not against working with the Democrats. There's a good amount of people in this country who are Democrats. And they deserve some representation, and they deserve to have a little bit of what they want, too. This isn't, well, the Republicans win, so the Republicans get everything they want, and the Democrats can chew fat. Oh, the Democrats won? F the Republicans, we'll do whatever we want. Shouldn't be that way. Should not be that way. But they shouldn't dictate. In other words, when the Republicans rule, they should say, we're willing to bend a little to give you what you want, but what you're asking for is outrageous. So you better come back down to earth or you'll get nothing. Right? Then I don't mind reaching across the aisle and saying, okay, well, you know, you have an infrastructure plan here. It's going to cost this much to build a bridge, but it's going to bring different traffic in and more infrastructure to your particular state, and you represent that state. We get it. Maybe that is worth looking up, and maybe that is worth voting thumbs up for. We get it. But when it's just somebody's pet project that you're going to put money in the back pocket of your own self for, no one I'm voting for. That's the taxpayer's money. That's your money. And folks, forgive me if I sound cold, because I'm not. I see pictures of the Ukraine, and it makes me want to vomit. What's going on there is horrible. Vladimir Putin is a complete psychopath. But Ukraine's not winning. And you cannot continue to fund this war. And you have to tell Zelensky the same thing. Throwing money at an unwinnable war is just throwing money it's pissing in the ocean. It doesn't make a difference. It's just prolonging the inevitable and killing more people. The real way to end this war is to sit down with Putin and tell him all of our allies are backing us on this. You will be financially crippled. You will be ostracized from the world, except maybe from China and a couple other places, if you continue this nonsense. Zelensky's willing to give you a little. You better give a little. And it's going to happen. Because if it doesn't, it's not war. If it doesn't, we're not going to drop a nuke on you. But we are going to make sure you are sanctioned to the point where your country's irrelevant. You do understand that when Joe Biden allowed Vladimir Putin his pipeline back, the one that Donald Trump took away from him, Joe Biden funded the war in the Ukraine. Without that pipeline, Vladimir Putin does not have the money to conduct this war. So Joe Biden's own policy actually financed this war, and now he's throwing billions of dollars of your money at it in an attempt to stop it when he knows it's unstoppable. He knows it's inevitable that Russia will win. You hear all the time, oh, the Ukrainians are doing great. No, they're not. No, they're not. And I want people to understand one thing. You can say what you want about Vladimir Putin. You can say what you want about Zelensky. Zelensky has shown courage when he said, I'm staying here with my people. You can say that Putin is a madman and a psychopath, but at the end of the day, the people that are being killed didn't ask for it. There are Russian soldiers. Every Russian soldier is an, oh boy, I get to go kill Ukrainians. That's what they want you to think. They want you to think that every Russian soldier is a serial killer who just can't wait to get in there and rape children and beat women to death and kill men. I want you to understand that there was a Russian soldier who wrote to his mother, texted his mother, I'm here on the front lines, and we were told we were going to come in and be treated like heroes for rescuing people. And they're throwing stones at us. They're shooting at us. And I don't want to be here. Hours later, he was killed. You don't think his life's worth anything just because he has a Russian? Because he's a Russian, his life's worth nothing? When you start to dehumanize people, that's when the war gets bad. Right now, the Russians are saying, well, you do that to us, we'll do this to you. And the Ukrainians are saying, well, you do this to us, we'll do that to you. And pretty soon, both sides don't look at you as human. It's time to get them to the table. It's time to end the war with the $10, $20, $30 billion that you literally have spent prolonging this war. You could have took a tenth of that and ended it. But you didn't. And when you're called out on it, you're told, oh, this is the most important thing. Nikki Haley, oh, this is God. We have to continue this. We have to keep funding this war. This is, we have to. Why, Nikki? Why do we have to keep funding it? What's the end game, Nikki? You think they're going to win? You're going to drive Russia out at the end game? Or you think that maybe they'll drop a nuke in the middle of the Ukraine and then what? How come you don't have a policy, Nikki, for setting down and forcing Vladimir Putin to accept some kind of a peace deal? How come you don't have a plan for that? Your plan is more money, more troops, more weapons, fight, fight, fight. That's not a good strategy, Nikki. It's not a good strategy. So they'll just put on, you know, these horrible news clips of what's happening in the Ukraine, and the American people say, oh, I feel so sorry for those people. Yes, yes, send more money, and maybe they can win. They can't win, folks. Life isn't fair. I'm sorry. Life isn't fair, and eventually Russia will win. And another 400,000 people will be killed in the attempt. Can we stop it now before those 400 extra thousand people are killed? You bet we could if we wanted to. Why don't we want to? Somebody answer that question for me. Did you see one Republican on that stage, except possibly one, who said we got to end this war immediately? Ramaswamy is the only one. Even Mike Pence, who's supposed to be Mr. Religious, well, we have to keep it. Why do you have to keep it going, Mike? Why do you want a war to keep going? Did we learn nothing from Vietnam? Pretty soon we'll have troops in there. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Because there is no other inevitable conclusion unless we force them to the table. Now, I know Ron DeSantis has said, well, you know, I'm not for funding the war. We got to do something about it. But he hasn't got a plan. I can sit here and tell you that. Congratulations, Ron. Yeah, we know. It's like a mechanic saying, oh, well, you know, your car is broke. Yes. Yes, I do know my car is broke. Do you know how to fix it? Good question. Donald Trump said, give me a week. I will sit down with Vladimir Putin. I will sit down with Zelensky, and we will end this. Guaranteed. And you know why? Because he's going to do exactly what I just told you. He's going to say, do you want to be remembered as the leader of Russia who drove his people into abject poverty and isolated them from the entire world, because that's what's going to happen to you. Now, we can give a little. Zelensky, you're going to have to give a little. We broke some treaties with Russia, too, folks. Don't think that Russia's completely wrong when they said the United States lied to them. We did. Go look it up if you don't believe me. So, yeah. You're going to have to give a little, Zelensky. You're going to have to give a little to save your people. If you want to say, well, keep bringing me weapons so I can save my people, how about you save your people by being willing to acquiesce to a little bit and say, all right, well, you know what? We're willing to cede this part of the land. All you really have to do is have Donald Trump go down there and say, under no circumstances ever is the Ukraine going to be a part of NATO. And that's one big thing that Vladimir Putin is afraid of. And then secondly, you tell him what's going to happen to his country. Not that we're going to drop a nuke, but that we're going to run him into obscurity, which we have the ability to do. And then cooler heads will prevail, and they will say, let's see if we can't work something out. Just keep funding that war, though. Send more guns to kill more people. Send more bombs to kill more people. Knowing there's no end. Where's the end? Show me the end. Did you hear one politician say, this is why we're sending the money? What we're hoping for is that this will happen. No, you've never heard that. It's just, oh, so they can keep and defend themselves. Oh. And you don't think they can win, though, right? Did anybody ever ask that question to these politicians? No, they didn't. So I do not think removing Kevin McCarthy is a bad decision. If Jim Jordan gets in, you have just got a major upgrade. He's not perfect, but he's a major upgrade. Because he's not going to be in the back room cutting deals with Democrats while refusing to talk to mega Republicans because he was butthurt that they wouldn't vote for him in the first round. And then he has the nerve to accuse Matt Gaetz of being butthurt because I didn't stick up for him in his ethics investigation. Yeah, you're the one that's butthurt. Oh, they had the nerve not to vote for me. Made me look bad. So I don't want to talk to them. I'll go talk to the Democrats. Is that what? Why? If we have the majority in the House, can we please start to do some things the Republican way? What good is it to have the majority if you're going to let the Democrats have it anyway? Which is exactly what he did. They got everything they wanted. They came out of that meeting saying, if we can get the spending to, you know, maybe him to agree at a 50 or 60% cut in spending, when it gets to the Senate, they'll bounce it back up to maybe 25 or 30, and we'll be happy with that. No, what's McCarthy do? Oh, 30 is good. Oh, so now the Senate's going to say, how about 40? Or, I mean, how about 20? How about 15? It's going to go? So they're going to get more than they wanted. Because McCarthy cuts a deal that's to their benefit to begin with, rather than cutting them off at the knees, realizing the Senate's going to change it a little bit and they're going to get a little bit more back. That's how it works. They run the Senate. So they're going to take that bill and they're going to say, this isn't acceptable. We want a little more money. McCarthy knows that. So why didn't he lower their expectations so that when they come out with a demand, it's pretty much what the Republicans figured they'd want to begin with? No, he didn't do that. They were celebrating when they came out of there because they were like, well, we would have been happy at 30%, and by the time it gets to the Senate, it'll be like 10 or 15. An idiot. Let me go to the phones. Tom in New York, what's your thoughts?
Hey, you know, very, very good insight on this show, and I just got to say that, you know, the billions and billions of dollars that we keep sending to the Ukraine is not helping them or us in any kind of way. They, if they are so, you know, for putting a bill on the table that helps the veterans, then I agree 100%. Just let it be that. Didn't Donald Trump do that in 2021 with the second COVID stimulus
yes.
check? Like, why put all this?
Yes, Donald Trump called their bluff.
Exactly.
Yes, Donald Trump called their bluff. Donald Trump said he would triple. Donald Trump said, I will triple what you're giving people if it's the only thing in that bill. So you got $700, however much it was. He said, I'll give you thousands of dollars as long as it's the only thing in that bill. And what did the Democrats say, Tom? Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. We're going to pass a $10 billion bill, and then only 2% of it's going to COVID relief, but we're going to call it the COVID relief fund, even though about 2 or 3% of it is all that's going to COVID relief. Donald Trump called their bluff on it, and he exposed exactly how that works.
And they were afraid that they were that was going to happen again, so they sweet-talked McCarthy, and McCarthy is such a bum that he was cutting backroom deals thinking he wasn't going to get caught. And he got caught and he got outed. And honestly, sir, he deserved to get outed. And all these talking heads, I have a lot of respect for Mark Levin and some other folks that are associated with Fox News. But they need to see and think outside the box, because Matt Gaetz is 100% correct, and the Democrats voted their own person out. Really, I mean, he was...
Levin is wrong because he doesn't want chaos in the Republican Party. He's saying, we just got the House, and we don't need chaos. Yeah, I understand. But unfortunately, yes, we do need chaos at this point, because we need to know who the people are who are really on our side from the people who aren't. And all I'm going to say one more time is, if I got a used car and I want $5,000 for it, I'm starting out asking, 6,000, so that when the guy comes, he's going to say, I don't know, man. Could you take, how about 5? No, I couldn't do 5. How about 5,700? How about 55? Okay, I got $500 more than I wanted for the car. Right? But if I say, well, 5,000 is what I'm asking, and will you take 48, 44, 43? I'm always going to get less than I asked for, because I started out giving you the benefit of the negotiation. That's what McCarthy did with this deal. When the Senate gets the deal, they're going to up it, and he knew they were going to up it. And then he could come back and say, well, what can you do? They controlled the Senate. I did my best. You didn't do your best. Your best was to cut the knees off of that spending, knowing that when it got to the Senate, they were going to say, this is unacceptable, we want more money, and then you could have negotiated up slowly. Instead, you give them everything they want, and then they're going to ask for more. And they're going to get it. It's just unbelievable. I know that people like Mark Levin, people like Sean Hannity, people like, almost everybody is saying this is disastrous for the Republican Party. No. You know what? Maybe they're right. It is disastrous for the Republican Party. But this Republican Party is worthless. You need to blow it up, start over again with true and honest conservatives. You want to use the nasty word? I'll use the nasty word, mega Republicans. Because to me, I understand that to the left, mega means fascist. Well, you're the fascist. Mega, to me, means real, honest, hardworking Americans who value this country, love this country, and want it to return to the way it was. And no, that doesn't mean slavery. No, that doesn't mean women can't vote. No, that doesn't mean whatever. Stop it already. You know very well what it means. Patriotism now is an ugly word, even to some Republicans. Matt Gaetz did the right thing. And it's going to be proven he did the right thing, because Jim Jordan is going to be the new Speaker of the House. And when Jim Jordan is the new Speaker of the House, you won't see this crap. And then you know what the Republicans will say? Oh, well, I guess it worked out okay. They're just trying to stir you up, trying to turn you against the people who want to expose the system. Just like they did Donald Trump, folks. Isn't that exactly what they did to Donald Trump? Oh, all of a sudden Matt Gaetz is public enemy number one, and he has ethics violations, and he needs to be investigated. How ironic.